time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
All righty, Coastsiders, good morning. It's Friday, October 21st, 2022. Send your slot receiver in motion and isolate the weak side linebacker. It's time for some Coastal Windage. Good morning, friends. I'm Reuben Truthmaker.
And I'm Sandy Brightside.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Reuben.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I mean, it's morning, so, you know, it's not my, this is not my perfect time of the day. This to me is known as the crack of dawn. 9 a.m. to me is the crack of dawn. So I'm a night owl. This early first thing in the morning radio show at 9 a.m. is tough on the old kid here, but I do love doing the show. I love doing it with you. This is Coastal Windage,
Thank
the talk
you.
Of the coast. It's nice to see you. And just like Livy, when you're in the room with Sandy, like you wake up, it's, you know, you get a smile on your face.
Aww.
It's that kind of personality, which is why I love having you on the show.
Thank
because
you.
We got to counterbalance,
totally.
You know, the crust over here,
well,
right?
Honored to be here. It's so fun.
Cool. Well, let's hop right into it because we've got two guests. Well, they're tandem guests today, but we've got two guests today. But our topics for today, Lincoln Douglas, Kennedy Nixon, Benson Quayle. Those were all just precursors to the Half Moon Bay City Council District 4 throwdown this Monday. That's right. Today we'll handicap the great debate and get you set for the best Monday night action since Howard Cosell retired. You know, remember Howard Cosell? All right, this is Howard Cosell, and the great debate will be Monday night. And right there, a response by the candidate. All right, that was my Howard Cosell. And
that was
I had,
pretty good, not bad.
Was it?
You can work on it.
I mean, I love listening to Howard Cosell. Not the actual, necessarily, things that he's saying, but his accent and the way he spoke was pretty fun. All right, detours, K-Rail, heavy equipment, and brake lights. We'll review a whole lot of infrastructuring going on up and down the coastside. I'm not, you know, we let the interns run with it. We give them some basic ideas for the script. We let them run with it. I'm not super thrilled about this topic, so we, you know, maybe we'll get, I don't know, because I'm more excited because later in the show we're going to huddle up for our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Half Moon Bay High School head football coach Keith Holden and starting quarterback Liam Harrington. Okay.
So exciting. And
right.
Today is homecoming.
Today, that's right. We're playing Burlingame in the homecoming game. So I'm sure everybody on campus, I know my son was talking about there's an assembly and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff,
yep,
right?
Everyone's
there's the
dressed
dance
in pink.
Tomorrow.
There's a dance contest during the assembly. There's the homecoming dance tomorrow. It's big doings
right.
At the high school.
Okay. In case you just tuned in, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. We're on every Friday morning, 9 to 10 a.m., right here on KHMB Radio, 100.9 FM and rockin' 1710 a.m., streaming live on khmbradio.com. Coastside issues, hot topics, and you and us. Oh, great. Give us a call. This is a call-in show. If you want to talk to the coach and the quarterback later on, you can call in while we're talking to them. If you want to talk about Halloween, Pumpkin Festival, the gondola / tram, whatever's on your mind, the great debate, okay, give us a call, 650-560-9851. Send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. Okay, if you miss the show this morning, you can always go to khmbradio.com, click on the podcast, the past shows tab, and all of our past shows are there. We're on show 192 right
wow.
now. Okay, we're brought to you, as always, by the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Thanks to them for sponsoring our show, as they have for many years, a local favorite since 2000. That's right, holding down the entire century. There on Capistrano, great patio dining, expanded patio, great eats, a bevy of beers,
and beers. Like you sound like Dicka.
Yeah, totally.
With the beers.
Okay, well, we got Dicka
we
here
got
with the beers.
Come yep. Go down for some beers.
Totally. And you got that. That was good. That was my
you were doing the Saturday Night Live football group doing Ditka.
Yeah, exactly.
Ditka. I forgot their name though. The party.
Chris Farley, George Went, and the Scottish guy from
The Bears.
Okay, you got all that. Okay, and that is at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Each year they give at least $5,000 in scholarships to students from Half Moon Bay High.
Oh, that is so nice.
Definitely wanted to mention that because we've got a student from Half Moon Bay High here on the show this morning. Okay, thank Liam Harrington, starting quarterback. Okay. that's very interesting. We've got a nice leaf blower going right outside the studio. Hey, this is live radio. We're at downtown. They're cleaning up downtown, right? So whatever.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay. Air quality report, which is probably a little less good right now that the leaf blower is going. But here we go. We get this information from purpleair.com. Let's remember the scale. 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100, not so good, but still excellent. Over 100, you don't want to be there. Today in El Granada, 64. We're usually in the teens, so 64, like not as great as we're used to. 55 in Half Moon Bay, 90 in Redwood City, 72 in Santa Cruz, and 163 down in San Juan Bautista. So something's going on with the air quality here. It's not our usual pure nectar. Okay, give us a call if you want to, 650-560-9851.
We don't have any fires going on though, right? My sister's up in Oregon and they're having a lot of smoke. They had to postpone their homecoming game by a week.
I mean, maybe we're getting some residual
smoke coming.
I know I've got some friends in Beaverton, Oregon, and they were talking about how the smoke is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
The bright side of traffic. What do you got for us this morning?
Oh, so bright side has been noticing a lot of things. It looks like, and this is also falls under the infrastructure, it looks like they're almost finished with that section of sidewalk. When you're coming near Wilkinson School
and you're about to turn left on Coronado. In El Granada,
Yes, it looks like it's looking pretty good.
Okay, but here's the thing about that.
Oh my gosh, the phones are blowing up.
Why is part of the sidewalk white and part of it this like orangish color?
Well, I think of the bright side. Good job. It looks like a sidewalk.
Okay, hold on. Let's take this phone call here. We got the phone ringing off the hook. This is Ruben and Sandy. Who are we talking with this morning?
Hi, this is Lee, and I'm calling all the way from Florida.
What?
Lee from
all
Florida.
All right. Coastal windage. Nice. What's up, Lee?
Nice. Well, I was actually just listening to you guys, and I would love to hear what your favorite homecoming experience memory was, since we're talking homecoming.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, for me, I really liked working on the floats. I asked Mr. Jones up at the high school if we build floats, and I don't think we do, but our freshman year, we built the freshman float, like a truck, you know, like old school float, Rose Bowl float. And we had a great time. And then we loved that. We loved all the homecoming. I grew up in a small town that was sort of like Half Moon Bay, but more toward the foothills. So that was probably my favorite memory. I loved it. What about you, Ruben? Ruben hates everything, so he might not get a good answer.
No, I don't really have one, but I would turn it around and say, well, Lee, what is your favorite?
What is your favorite memory?
You know, that's great. I would say probably still the same thing that every girl loves today, shopping for the dresses, getting ready with our friends, and it's actually all very exciting. So homecoming was a fun memory during tough high school year. So
yeah, it's this really special time of year. Yeah, enjoying the dresses, getting ready with the friends. It's all so sweet. And what I really like now is that people don't have to have a date to go to homecoming. Like, everyone could just go as a group.
You used to have to have a date.
Ruben's like, what's a date?
Yeah, right. It's high school.
Ruben's like, I just used to go alone.
A date in high school?
Yeah, so you'd have to have someone have to ask you, and you'd have to go person, exactly. But now they go as a group, and I just think it really lifts the pressure off of everybody, the boys, too.
Yeah.
Because at that age, especially the younger ones, like freshmen, they get embarrassed to ask each other and stuff. So I think that is wonderful that everyone's included. So I'd say my modern day answer is that everyone gets to go and it's inclusive, and I think that's great.
No, I think they're smart. That's smart, Sandy. I agree with you 100%. You are always worried about being rejected.
Yes.
From a girl's standpoint, too, if you didn't get asked. So now that that's not a thing and there is no pressure there, you're exactly right. That helps with the self-esteem for sure.
Yeah, thank you, Lee. Maybe you should move a bit closer to Half Moon Bay. You seem like a great person.
Yeah, are you from the coast side?
I am. Well, outside of that, I'm from California originally, yes, but I've made my way towards the east throughout the year, so here I am now.
Well, thank you for listening and representing the East Coast.
You bet.
Hang on to Florida there. It's hurricane season, so be safe.
Oh, I will. You guys have a great weekend and enjoy homecoming.
Thanks for the call,
Lee.
Yeah, thanks for calling
great
in,
call.
Lee. You bet. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, that was a nice way to start off the morning.
Really
a call
nice.
From Florida. Again, coast to coastal windage. That should be our new
coast
slogan.
Coast to coastal. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So we were talking about the bright side of traffic.
Oh, yeah. So the bright side to me is, I haven't really noticed the two-tone sidewalk. Now that you're mentioning it,
Yeah. Maybe
it is. But I was just thinking the bright side is that maybe they're almost finished. At least they're finished at that one stop sign that I got stuck in 3 times last week because I didn't see the road closed sign and cruised all the way down, road closed, had to turn around in El Granada.
So now they've kind of restructured the lanes there. They had that weird thing where they had the K rail, and then what used to be the turn lane was now the lane coming off Highway 1.
Yes.
And every day I would see someone come off of Obispo Road and turn into that, you know, turn lane coming off of Highway 1. I just saw it a couple days ago, but now they've reconfigured it so that there's a big bunch of K-rail between the two lanes. So now there should be less concern about that, but there's still all that K-rail there. So something's still going on. I don't know. This project, to me, this is for a bike path, okay?
I'm so excited about the bike path. Though.
I am
on the
too,
east
but this
side,
thing
it's a
seems
big deal.
So over-engineered. Well, the amount of money and engine. Think of how long this has been going on.
I know.
How many pieces of heavy equipment? Months this has been going on. How much do you think this is costing? This is costing millions.
Well, that's why we're in radio and we're not in government here. Because I would be like, look, come on. Let's just get this done fast. But they can't do it fast. They have those big machines. And I did see something funny. Bright side. Those big machines that offer some humor. One of them was like honking and yelling at the other guy, and the other guy was trying to shove. What do you call those little meridians? The temporary meridians?
The white things?
Yeah, the white
called
thing.
Called K-rail?
K-rail. Mm-hmm. He was pushing the K-rail, like, with his tractor, and mm-hmm. I think he was either pushing it too far or something, and then he was yelling at him to stop. This is all while we're in bumper-to-bumper traffic. So it's just the fun continues.
Okay.
The bright side is sometimes it's funny. That's all I got for you today.
See, that... What about Pumpkin Festival? You were talking...
Oh, Pumpkin Fest. I heard really good reports about... I was actually, unfortunately, got sick and couldn't... I was going to word on the street.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't end up doing that, which was a bummer. But my husband and Mr. Brightside and Brightside Jr. were down at the fest. And they were working in the photo booth with the giant pumpkin. They raised all kinds of money for Cabrillo Education Foundation.
Excellent.
They had the best time meeting people from all over who came in. And they said the traffic was bad on 92, but some of them were clever and went from San Jose to Santa Cruz and then up Highway 1. And they said that was no problem.
Mm.
And people going back and forth through on Highway 1 down through the tunnel actually had no problems either.
Wow.
So I was saying I got to hear some positive things about traffic, and locals sort of went in and out quickly. By 8 for the pump. Did you go to the pancake breakfast? And then home by 2.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good time to go. I rode my bike down on Saturday afternoon, like late in the afternoon, the 2 to 4-ish. Traffic seemed better than in years past. Now, there's always going to be some traffic, and when I rode my bike through at like 2 o'clock, went like south of town, then came back around 4, that's when everybody's leaving, and Highway 1 and 92 were crowded, and there was cars on them, cars backed up to like the fire station down there, but, you know, no worse than a summer, sunny, you know, July day, But in the town of Half Moon Bay, in the city downtown, every street was just gridlocked. Cars just stopped. So, and interesting, on Nextdoor, El Granada resident Natalie Down posted her husband Simon Willemson's graphical analysis of the PFAS traffic. Did you see that on Nextdoor?
No, I don't. I'm not on Nextdoor.
Okay, so I posted that on our website. That's khmbradio.com/coastalwindage. I posted Simon Willemson's graphical analysis of the Pumpkin Festival traffic. It's a little bit beyond my pay grade of understanding it, but their conclusion was that it was about 18 minutes max to get from the More for Less in Half Moon Bay to El Granada, to the press in El Granada, which kind of makes sense. That's always going north. I think it's probably a little more time coming south into the maelstrom there.
Right.
All weekend, I felt like I was on the edge of a hurricane or something like that, or a whirlpool. If I just went a little south toward Half Moon, I was going to get sucked into
this
vortex.
Yeah, I just stayed at home.
You know?
It makes me kind of claustrophobic thinking about all that gridlock.
Now, thinking of Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival traffic, you know what would be good on the coast side, up and down Highway 1 between, let's say, the harbor and Half Moon Bay?
Yeah.
I could go for a gondola system between those two points.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that makes sense to me.
That
makes
too.
Sense. Get it off the highway, you can just boom, 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 back and forth. That makes sense.
That'd be fun.
Because that's, you know, what, 3 or 4 miles up to the top of Skyline and down the other side where there's no roads or infrastructure. That doesn't make any sense to me, and not as a replacement for a road or a tunnel, but as like kind of a local, you know, transportation system, a gondola from Half Moon Bay to the harbor, I could go for that.
Yeah,
okay.
I think they're called people movers if they're just along the street, like in Santa Cruz with the beach boardwalk.
Well, I think this would be a gondola, like, but up above, right?
That'd
so
be fun.
That would be kind of cool.
In.
Somebody posted on Nextdoor, and I posted it on our webpage, the Coastal Windage webpage on khmbradio.com, a picture of the street scene from one of the days, and it's packed. It looks like a Halloween in Isla Vista at UCSB. It's just wall-to-wall people, everybody smiling, having a good time.
So
I was
good.
Shocked how many people. They said they expected 100,000. It looks like it from this picture. Go check out the
100,000 people. Wow. Well, welcome. It's just so nice that we were able to welcome everybody back. It's so many people. Someone told Mr. Brightside that they've been bringing their kids here since they were babies, and they only had to miss that 1 year. And they actually took a photo and photoshopped the kids in for that year that they missed. And so it means a lot to a lot of people. So
it does. And it also means a lot to a lot of local nonprofits because
that's
how they earn their money.
That's
for the
how
year.
We make all of our money. So
okay.
Thanks to everybody out there who supported Pumpkin Fest.
Yes, absolutely. And we can't wait for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, speaking of can't wait, Monday, October 24th, that's this Monday, we've got the Great Debate. That's right, the big live broadcast debate of the District 4 Half Moon Bay City Council candidates. This is 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday. We're going to be broadcasting that live, so that's no tape delay, no outtakes. This is, you're going to hear the three candidates for District 4 talking live, improvisational, off the tops of their heads. That's Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. broadcast live here on KHMB Radio. Okay, we're going to be doing it from the KYMM studios in Kenyatta Cove. So that's another interesting thing about this debate. Well, it's a historic thing. It's the first time there's been a live candidate debate broadcast on the radio for everybody to hear. And this District 4 candidate debate is being held in District 4. So that's pretty cool.
That is so exciting.
Okay. So all three candidates are going to be there, and that is Debbie Ruddock, who's currently the mayor of Half Moon Bay, Bill Balson, and David Oblovy, along with yours truly and the godfather of Coastside Radio, Jim Henderson, will be moderating the debate. What we're hoping for is we've got some questions that we've been gathering and that the candidates have submitted, topics they want to talk about. We're going to have like one of those like lotto hopper things, you know, we're just going to have the questions and pull them out at random so the candidates won't know what the questions are. We won't even know before we ask them. And then we're going to have 5 to 7 discussion topics, and they'll have about 10 minutes each. And what we're hoping for, 10 minutes for each topic, what we're hoping for is that the three candidates will have a discussion amongst themselves about this topic so that voters who are undecided or even members of the community who want to hear what these people have to say will have a chance to hear their thoughts in a less structured, less
time-sensitive setting than a candidate forum.
Oh.
So on Wednesday at the library, there was a candidate forum that included these three candidates as well as seven other candidates for public office. They mingled with about 45 voters in a candidate forum setting, which is each candidate is asked a question, and then they give kind of like, they have like 45 seconds to answer, and there's no like kind of discussion between people. So the Half Moon Bay Review called this candidate forum speed dating with voters, because that, I think before the formal candidate forum, they, the candidates kind of went around to each table. There was some tables set up with the 45 people who had showed up, and they kind of sat for a few minutes at each table and talked, and then, you know, ding. I don't know if you've ever done speed dating or seen it on a movie or something, but I guess there's like a timer, ding, and then you get up and you move to the next
table. Yeah.
So that's what they did. So that sounds pretty good, because the two candidates for District 3, Half Moon Bay Board of, San Mateo County Board of Supervisors were there. The three candidates for District 4, as well as some other candidates, were there. So it seems like a good opportunity to get to know the candidates. I watched it on video last night. You can go to Pacific Coast TV. They videotaped it, so you can see that. I went and watched it. Definitely a worthwhile opportunity to get the introduction. what I did notice, though, there was nobody under 50 in the crowd.
We got to get the young ones involved.
This is an issue with politics on the coast side, government on the coast side. You go to these government meetings, one, it's the usual suspects.
Right.
The same group
of
people.
Same 10 people.
And they're usually older folks. And when I say older, I mean like 50 and up.
Right.
Not just adults,
but 50
and up. I think
older should really be, you know, 70 and up, though.
Well, if you look at the video of this event, we were getting pretty close there. Okay. One thing that will differentiate the debate that's going on Monday with this is, so these were 10 candidates for a variety of offices, but they were all asked the exact same question. And so it would be like, here's the question, and then each of the 10 candidates would give an answer, which I understand, like, you know, they only had an hour for the whole question and answer session, which is not very much. And when you're asking, you know, somebody that's running for a sanitary district a question about road infrastructure, like, yeah, you know, it's not really like, it doesn't align exactly.
Right.
So that seemed a little awkward at times, that all 10 candidates were answering the same question. Sometimes the question didn't really apply to the office they were running for, but okay.
Yeah.
I did notice that one of the candidates, who I will name nameless, was busy texting away on their phone, you know, while the questions were going on, while the person next to this person was answering a question. This person was on their phone texting away.
Okay.
Now, this is bad form. This is something we discourage in our children.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, no.
You know, okay.
But this is going to be radio where people can listen to this, but we...
Oh, I'll be
they
texting away on
it.
My phone. Yeah, I mean, I'm just the moderator. I'm not even going to be paying attention. Oh, wait, are we live? Is this on right now? I didn't mean to say that. No, I'll be wrapped. The candidate forum was hosted by the Half Moon Bay Coastside Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau, and it was sponsored by County Coastside Water District Director Chris Mickelson, who is also a candidate moderating and answering questions.
Wow.
Puente, the Surdy Real Estate Team, and the Half Moon Bay Review. Okay. The great debate, Monday night, 7 to 9, here on KHMB, is focused just on Half Moon Bay District 4. Again, we're providing a format that we hope encourages the candidates to have a discussion amongst themselves where they state their position, and we're hoping it's not an argument, more of a discussion of like, well, why do you take that position? Well, what do you think is going to happen? Well, why do you want this?
Right.
And then they can discuss it amongst themselves. To really give the voters some insight into the mindset.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The question, what I like, because you know, I'm the moderator, so I've got total power and control, is the candidates don't have the questions beforehand. So like the, you know, they we're really going to see kind of like how well versed they are in the topics and how well they can think on their feet.
Right.
Because they're not going to, until we pull that question out of the big, you know.
Wow.
What I really want is like a big plexiglass, like ball with like the handle that you turn in like the ping pong ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's what I imagined that you were doing. Well, you don't have that?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to be there.
Well,
right.
This is going to be riveting radio.
It is. It's a historic event for the Coastside. This has never happened before.
Monday, 7 to 9. Is that
Monday,
right?
Monday, 7 to 9 p.m.
On this what is, station, Ruben?
What station?
There's,
well, khmbradio.com. Rockin' 1710 AM, 100.9 FM. That's the station. Okay. Whew. I think we've talked enough. I can skip the infrastructure in topic. Maybe we'll do
that. Covered that already, didn't we?
I don't know. It's kind of... I'm sorry to the interns that worked on it. I know they worked really hard.
It's a little dry.
It's like kind of like we talk about infrastructure. I think just about every show.
Infrastructure.
Okay. Here we go. Let's go to some fun emails. Because they always seem to, like, I don't know. They always seem to get a good dig in on me, and sometimes they're funny. So let's see what we got. This one's from Trey Datater. Trey Datater about P-Fest. Pumpkin Fest was great, but they have to do something about the cell service Wi-Fi situation. I did hear that from people.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get any messages while on Main Street, which made it hard to find info or hook up with my friends. Kind of frustrating. Yeah.
Imagine living through the 80s.
Well, but you wouldn't be used to the Wi-Fi. Here's the thing.
We need to just retrain people. You meet at the pumpkin at 11, you know?
This is one of the things about the modern world with the cell phones and the texting. It used to be you'd make, hey, in 2 weeks, let's meet at Hop Dogma and we'll have a beer on Tuesday night.
If you're not there, you miss it.
And it would just be like set in stone,
yeah.
Tuesday, right in your calendar. Now it's like right up to like 6:59 on Tuesday. That plan could change at any time.
Right.
Oh, well, let's do it next. I can't make it. Like, it's going to be half... No, like, there's no, nothing is set in stone anymore.
Yeah.
So, but this feels like a younger person. I guess it's the name or maybe the focus on the Wi-Fi, but they're used to having it all the time. So when it's not there, it's like
panic.
Jarring.
They literally panic if they don't have their phones.
What I heard was some vendors and merchants couldn't sell their stuff because they're using Venmo or PayPal. Hey, and I've talked about this before. You know what always works?
Good old-fashioned cash.
Yeah, you know what never needs a software upgrade and is never down?
Dollars.
Cash money.
Cash money.
Yeah, cash money. So this is my argument against the cult of technology.
You got to get some Hunskis and bring them down.
Ooh, some hundos, yeah.
Bring
them right here, right to this office.
Yeah.
But when you get rid of existing systems that work, when you abandon them just to chase the latest shiny penny, then you're left in a bind when that shiny penny gets lost in the bottom of your purse, right?
Yeah.
How's that for a mangled metaphor?
I like that. That was a mangled metaphor.
My mom used to have this big leather purse, and like, it was like Snoopy's doghouse. Like, there was no bottom to it. Like, there's just all the kinds of, you pull like a ship's anchor out of that thing. Like, where is this coming from? You know, like the cartoons when they're opening up a shark or a goat or something, there's like a mailbox and a tire and like a stick of gum at the bottom.
Yep.
You can always find a stick of gum at the bottom.
A thermometer.
Yeah.
Granola bar.
Right.
From 2 years ago.
Okay, here's an email from listener Mother Hen. Mother Hen about swatting. It's not the parental...
old school parental.
Punishment, but I think this is the... we'll read the email, but the...
Yeah, we talked about this is when the
live
kids...
Live shooter
calling
thing? Yeah.
It's a...
Oh, and we've got some language in this email. From Mother Hen, of all people. I don't know who this is.
Mother Hen, pull it together.
What sick think it's funny to make a fake active shooter call in this day and age? That's my first thought. Oh, here we go.
It's probably her. Mother Hen.
Let's hold that thought while we get a phone call here. Okay, this is Ruben and Sandy, who we got on the phone this morning.
Well, oddly, you have David Oblovy on the phone this morning.
So David Oblovy, one of the candidates, one of the District 4 City Council candidates who will be participating in the great debate on Monday night. What's up, David?
Exactly. Well, a couple things. I decided to call because your whole chasing a shiny penny thing. People haven't chased shiny pennies for about 130 years.
But look who you're talking to, right?
Yeah, well, fair enough. I just wanted to actually, another quick anecdote. I think you knew I lived in Japan for a bunch of time, 4 years back in the late 80s, early 90s. And we were going to meet friends. We would either go to Shinjuku or, this was in Tokyo, Shinjuku or Shibuya. And like, if you're going to meet at Shibuya, you'd meet at Hachiko, which was the dog statue in front of Shibuya. And you might make that plan like days in advance.
Right.
Because there was no way to reach out to people. There were no cell phones then. I hate to admit that I was alive when There were no cell phones. Anyway, the real reason I was calling was to really encourage people to tune into the debate and to thank you for putting it on. This is the only opportunity in this election season where people are going to have an opportunity to see and hear unscripted what the individual candidates think. And if you're actually wanting to be an informed voter and not just someone who clicks the button for, you know, the incumbent or your neighbor or whoever, this is the way to do it. And I am really, really grateful for you, to you and to the station, to Jim, for putting on this event. And I hope people will avail themselves of what it will give them. Because, you know, whether I come out on the top end of it or the bottom end of it, I don't really care. The point is that people can be informed here. And without this, we would have nothing.
Hmm.
So I really want to thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you,
You're
David.
Welcome.
Appreciate that, and that's exactly the kind of the mindset that Jim and I had of like let's really like kind of peel back the curtain and let people see. I mean, maybe it's a scary thing, but let people see inside, you know, the minds of the candidates as they. Again, I'm hoping that it happens this way. We'll see. I mean, that there's an earnest discussion amongst the three candidates about your differences and your agreements, you know, things you agree on, but things where you differ on stuff, so that the voters can really kind of assess that, like you said, unscripted and unvarnished. And that's something that you just don't find really in many political races anywhere, you know?
Right.
No, you don't.
Town hall idea, right?
Yeah. And even the town hall idea tends to be a bit scripted. You know, I don't really have a reason to have a stump speech, but, you know, to me, listening to a politician talk about themselves is the least interesting thing on the planet. And I feel sorry for anybody who would have to listen to me try to promote myself or, you know, I did this, I did that. It's just, it's not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is seeing them dynamically respond and react to different complex ideas and how they would approach those.
Right.
I'm more interested in how they solve problems than in, you know, their sanitized speech promoting themselves, which is essentially just a form of propaganda. And so that, and unfortunately, that's really what the forum was. Any forum is, that's the nature of a forum. You can't interact, you can't push back, you all get the same question, you all get the same amount of time to answer. There was a little bit of friction there between two candidates.
There was a little excitement there. Yeah, there was.
But it was completely moderated out, right?
It was
off topic. So I mean, it you got to play by the rules of whatever medium you're in, and I'm not sure those were within the rules. But anyway, I didn't want to take up your show. I just wanted to really reach out and encourage people to tune in. I like the idea of people sitting around their radio with a vacuum tube humming in the background. Listening to the great debate.
Right, exactly.
A lot of fun.
Well, thanks for the call, David, and good luck on Monday, and good luck to the other two candidates, Bill Balson and Debbie Ruddock, as well. And I will talk to you and see you on Monday.
Great. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Thank you, David. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Mother Hen, let's see. My second thought. Okay, so I'm gonna summarize this because we've got our two guests in here. Starting quarterback Liam Harrington and head football coach of the high school, Keith Holden. Basically, Mother Hen was saying that when are we going to start doing something to protect the mental health of our children, not to mention their physical safety? It's not funny or harmless. So outraged. Yep.
It's true. It's true, Mother Hen. It is outrageous, and it also costs so much money, and it also costs so much on the kids and their mental health. The kids are scared, and it's awful to be living like this.
I mean, here's the thing about that. This, you know, and back in our day, it was like somebody would pull the fire alarm if they had a test or something, or they wanted
for
to get
sure,
out,
we'd
right?
all
okay.
laugh.
Okay, right. And I mean, that seems relatively harmless. Okay, maybe the fire, fire truck would come. Like,
maybe
right,
they
but,
would, yeah.
But this is way beyond this. We're talking like, you know, ever since Columbine, like, that active shooter means automatic weapons or worse.
Weapons of war that shouldn't be on the street.
Children and adults being killed, like, it's a scary thing. And so to call in fake one. And this was, This was coordinated.
There was, I think, six high schools in the Bay that this happened,
yeah.
Right?
Like, to me, this is domestic terrorism.
Yep.
Like, this was somebody thought this out and made these calls at the same time,
yep,
for the purpose of scaring people. That's
giving the
kind
kids
of the
too
definition
much power,
of,
too. And I just, it's not good.
Giving the kids that make the calls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was kids, we don't know who it was. Mm-hmm. We're assuming that it was the full fire alarm kids doing it. Like, in this day and age, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, this borders on, this is domestic terrorism.
Yeah, maybe it
You're
is some,
doing
maybe
this
it
to
is
scare
some,
people.
Some adult.
All right. We've got another, I'm going to save this other
but
email.
Thank you for emailing, Mother Hen. We're all concerned about it here on the coast, too, and
yeah,
we agree that it's outrageous.
Yes. Okay, so let's get, I'm wearing my pseudo Okay, all right. Okay, it's time for our Shooting the Breeze live interview, and we've got head football coach Keith Holden and the starting quarterback Liam Harrington. Take it away, Sandy.
Oh, thank you guys so much for coming down to the radio. Coastal Windage, great to have you. How are you guys both doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having us this morning. Love what you guys are doing here. Love that you guys represent Half Moon Bay. I'm born and raised here, and brought along one of our players here who's also born and raised here, and proud to be from this community and just excited to be here and appreciate what you guys are doing for this town.
Great. And what's the special game tonight?
Special game tonight is we have our homecoming game.
Ooh, homecoming! And what's the theme? What's the theme of the, what are we supposed to be wearing in this dance? Who remembers?
I remember.
Pink.
Yeah.
Pink? Why? I'm sorry. Why are we wearing pink?
It's breast cancer.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Leadership picks different themes for different games, and absolutely appropriate for this game and this time of year, or any time of year, actually,
yep,
to recognize breast cancer and
that's right,
how it affects people's lives.
Yep. What's the bigger game, though? Homecoming, whoever we're playing, or Terra Nova?
Mm.
Well, from a old school Half Moon Bay standpoint, and then from a, you know, just someone who's born and raised here, we love homecoming. We take a lot of pride in this town, and we love our alumni. But I would say as a head football coach, more people ask me about Terra Nova. When I talk to people preseason, no one asks me, hey, how are you guys going to do at homecoming? The question is always this, hey, are you going to beat Terra Nova?
I love it, because you got to have a rival,
yeah,
right? You got to have that team that you just get jacked up for, like, whether it's, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State,
yeah,
whoever, you know.
Or that Tennessee-Bama game. Did you guys see that college football game?
I did see
God,
that
was great. Did you guys see that? Everyone just, we actually had friends, one of my good friends, Shannon, her son was actually at that game.
Oh, at the game.
Yeah.
Liam, do you watch football?
I do.
Do you prefer college or NFL?
I probably prefer college. It just feels like more exciting to watch.
Totally, I agree.
They're fighting for some, you know, it's fun to watch.
Who's your team?
Well, this year I'm rooting for Tennessee because they just beat Bama.
Yeah, so Tennessee.
Was a big thing, but probably Stanford always is Tennessee.
Yeah. Local team,
yep,
right?
Yeah, Stanford for sure.
Yep.
And Christian McCaffrey just got, that's huge. We actually met him once because Mr. Brightside works at Stanford, and we used to go to the games, and we were able to go around and meet all the football players, and they signed these posters for us. Actually, I'll bring it to school sometime. It's so cool. Christian's good. We knew he was going places.
We got to put it up on our wall there with all of our autographs.
I'm going to put it in the football
room. All of our autographed pictures. We got the headshots
from these two guys here
we're putting up on the wall.
We should get Christian
there.
On the show.
We'll
bet he'll come as soon as he gets back here, huh?
Do it. We'll get Christian on, and we'll have Liam come back, and the two of them, they can. Christian can talk to Liam about his future career in football.
It's so true. Yeah, that was a really exciting game. I've never seen anything like it when they just stormed the field. But we're not going to be storming the field on tonight, right, everybody? Not at Hoco.
No, we're saving that for when we win the state championship. Then, 20 minutes later.
Then
the boosters will pay for those goalposts, right? If you guys win the state championship, the boosters will pay for the goalposts.
That would be so exciting.
Well, the coach here was what, a quarter away, like a score away from winning the state championship. What was that, 2019?
2017, 2 points away.
Yeah, against Steel Canyon, which beat my alma mater, Granite Hills, to make that final game. Steel Canyon's in my high school district. Here's the question for you two. So if Half Moon Bay High had played my high school, Granite Hills, for the championship, who do I root for?
It's true.
Because I went to Granite Hills, but now I'm fully invested in Half Moon Bay. Like, who would you root for in that situation, Liam?
I'd root for Half Moon Bay.
Of course, yes. That's who I would. I mean, it's Steel Canyon, we hate them anyways, but I was ready to root for Half Moon Bay had Granite Hills made it, because this is where we live now. My son's at Half Moon Bay. Yep. This is our community. It's Half Moon Bay Cougars. Let's go.
Yeah, they're the best.
But anyways, Coach was minutes away from a state championship.
I need to hear that whole story at a later date. I don't think I know that.
It was an incredible season. Go ahead. I'm reminiscing.
Okay, so Coach Holden, how did you get your start in coaching, and what do you like most about coaching high schoolers?
I got my start in coaching immediately after college. So I played for Half Moon Bay, went to CSM, played at CSM, and then went down to a small college in the LA area, Whittier College.
Yeah, I know that's where actually the beginning of Back to the Future is filmed.
Clock Tower. Richard Nixon's a graduate from Whittier College.
Yes, I know all of them. So went to Whittier College, and I had a coach there, Coach Buzz, great guy. He was a Vietnam vet.
Great name.
And he said, hey, you interested in coaching? I said, absolutely. I got started at the, so he was our college coach, but he taught high school at a nearby high school. And so he connected me with the head coach there, and I started coaching. My first job was an offensive line coach for Shure High School in Montebello. Right out of the gates. So
that's so great.
I was down there for 5 years, and then made my way back home. Came back here in 2002, and I've been here ever since at the high school. So for me,
you've been at the high school since 2002.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible run.
I always tell people I started when I was five.
Yeah. No, you seriously. What an incredible run.
Yeah. So back to your question, what I like most, I like watching the young men that I coach. I like to watch them go from boys to men. You know, I like developing relationships. I like watching them thrive. I feel like football, as in many sports, can teach life lessons. And I love that we can provide an area where these young men learn things about life and become better people.
Yeah. And I've actually seen the development in them just over the last year and a half.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun.
It's astounding, yeah.
Yeah.
So I read the philosophy page on the Half Moon Bay High School football website. It's very impressive, but it seems kind of strict. Coach, how would you describe your coaching style? Are you a drill sergeant? Are you a yeller? A guiding hand? A motivator? Well, actually, hold on.
Ask Liam.
How would you describe Coach's coaching style?
I would say he gets to the point, tells us what to do, but he's super fun with it. It makes everything fun, but we get our stuff done, and it shows. I mean, come Friday night, it shows how much work we put in, how much he does for us, and we all appreciate it.
He's not Liam won't get to know this name, but he's not a Woody Hayes style coach that grabs your face mask and pulls you into
No, it's all good. It's perfect.
Some of them are, though. I heard one of the Pop Warner coaches was really screaming at the kids, and I was like, ooh.
I mean, you come.
These guys don't do that.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to enough high school football games, but I've been to some Cunha flag football games.
Yeah.
And there's yellers. There's just coaches that are just from the before the game even starts, they're yelling, you're not going to live very long.
Also, the kids really can't hear you if you're doing that. They start to tune you out.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, you never want to. And trust me, I mean, I'm here on live radio, so, I can't lie. I have yelled before. You know, it happens.
What?
There's a time and a place for everything. But
they have to be yelled at sometimes.
But I feel like if you're yelling all the time, then you become Charlie Brown's teacher. And just,
yes.
It's so true. So,
yep.
As far as what I feel my style is, I feel like I try to provide whatever's needed. You know, sometimes I try to be the brains, and it's probably the only thing in life I could be the brains at. Sometimes you have to be a little, the disciplinarian, right? Sometimes you got to be funny, you know. So
right. you feel, you kind of feel the room. You read the room.
We try to put together a staff where it's like, well, if we have a guy who's kind of like a drill sergeant, then we need another guy on our staff who's kind of like the motivational guy, the guy who's always, you know,
right.
You know, the guy who's always on the bright side of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me. That's the dynamic we have here.
Exactly. We've got a caller. One of your fans, boys.
Yeah, here we go. Okay. Ruben, Sandy, Liam, and Coach Holden on the phone are on the air right now. Who have we got on the phone with us?
Who you have on the phone is a big fan of your radio show, but I would like to send out a message to whoever is engineering your program.
Yes.
Speaking on behalf of all your listeners out there, turn on the microphone of your guest. We can't hear him, sir.
The microphones are on. We have two guests. It's hard for them both to... They're both big football guys. It's hard for them to get to the microphone at the same time, so...
Okay, it sounds like they're out of the hallway talking to you.
Well, they're big guys, so, you know, like I said, like, shoulder to shoulder, like, they're still, like, 3 feet from the microphone, because both of these guys have shoulders that you could land an airplane on, so...
Tell them to embrace the microphone.
I just thank you so much for calling.
I just told them to come
up closer to the mic. Can you hear me okay,
bye.
Caller?
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, okay, so lean in close to the
mic.
Because people are hanging on every word here. Okay.
You almost want to be like, so you hold your hand like this, and then this is as close as you have to be.
Okay.
Next question.
Okay, next question.
So this is an interesting one. This is for Liam, and you get asked this all the time, but not everybody knows this, but you have an identical twin brother, and he also plays football with you. What position does he play for the Varsity Cougars, and what is it like to play out there under the lights with your brother? Because it almost seems like a movie or a TV show. It's very cute.
My twin brother, fraternal twin brother.
Oh, yes, fraternal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a slot receiver on our team,
mm-hmm.
and playing with him on Friday nights and Saturday day games are special. I mean, we connect during the game on offense, and then I get some reps on defense, so I get to play with him for a little bit, and it's magical. It's so fun. It's just like I'm never going to like have this experience again, so it's just, I'm just embracing it, and it's like we all get along. So it's so fun.
It seems like it's almost effortless when he throws it to his brother. Is it because you're twins, so you know where he's going to be?
Connection.
You do.
Yeah, we have a little bit of connection, yeah.
I just love
I'm
that.
I'm sure they've only thrown about 4 million passes in the backyard to each other with the Nerf ball, right?
Yeah.
Did you see in the Padres-Phillies baseball game, two brothers played against each other. The pitcher for the Phillies was pitching against his brother who was playing for the Padres, and so they faced off, and that was the first time ever that two brothers have faced off as pitcher and catcher. But have you ever played against your brother in any sport?
Ooh, I don't think so. No.
That would be interesting.
We've always just been together, same team, or just never separate. Yeah.
So what about when you guys go to college? I think I asked you this before.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking about going to the same college?
We thought about it. I mean, we wouldn't be bummed if we don't go to the same college. If we do, it's like it doesn't really affect us. But most likely, we'll probably go to the same college. That's how it works out. I mean, we're close, and we have similar interests, so we've been looking at the same school, the same thing. So
that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Are you? What are your future plans for playing football? Are you going to try to play football in college?
I'd like to.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And maybe beyond that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I'm just taking one step at a time, just getting through this high school season, trying to do as best we can, win that league champs, and then get over to CCS. But after that, we'll see. I mean, we don't know yet.
Sky's the limit for these kids. He also plays, what else do you play? You play baseball?
Yeah, baseball.
Okay,
and
basketball.
Else too.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Liam is already a local sports legend, as is his brother. For this reason alone, but they have many accolades. Majors, District 52, and Section 3 Little League champions in 2018.
I mean,
they're legends. The Harrington brothers are...
I don't know. I just met them.
That team right there, the names on that team. So, Liam and Ryan Harrington on that team. Ian Armstrong, Ben Cleary, Miles Ripberger, Jaden Hutchins, Moss Mickelson, Nico Klingel, Gavin Glynn, Aiden Vasquez, who's on your team as well,
oh, yeah.
Lucas Catena,
possibly Charlie Underwood and PJ Modena.
PJ.
That was just the all-star team for Half Moon Bay Little League.
Little League, that
yes,
is so cute.
Yes, and they won District 52 and Section 3. That is like the dream team of all dream teams. And so Liam and his brother were on that team, major players on that team. They don't have to when they turn 21. They don't have to ever buy a beer in this town ever again.
Oh,
so, I mean that's how
it's already that way over at Cameron's.
Let me ask you this: Were you on? Did you go to Cunha?
Yeah.
Were you on the eighth grade basketball championship team?
That was a year above me.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I played basketball throughout Cunha.
Right. Basketball, baseball, football. Like
his dad is a tennis. A coach,
I bet you,
and a player.
I bet you play golf too, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
He can save golf for his later years. He has things to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he retires from football. Okay, yeah. So, but when we'll retire from football. But here's a sensitive question. Liam, are you on concussion protocol right now?
I am.
So, can you play tonight?
No.
Liam, okay. What happened?
I got a concussion in the second quarter of our Menlo game last week.
You know what? I knew I didn't see you playing. I was watching it. I'm a booster supporter, and I can watch it live. I can stream it at my house if I can't make the game. I'm so sorry. You got a concussion.
Right. Yeah, I'm doing better now.
So the question for both of you is, my thing is, like, my prediction is in 20, 25 years, NFL will be a flag football league. The Pro Bowl is flag football game this year. There's a professional flag football league that's on ESPN that you can watch. Is football safe? Is it safe?
Yeah, I think it's safe. I mean, if everyone's going full speed, then you're not really hurting yourself. It's just when you just, like, kind of shy down, and if you get hit hard, then that's when injuries happen. So you just kind of got to stay tough. And, I mean, there's all the equipment we use is safe. I mean, it protects all.
Yeah.
Of us,
They do the best they can to stay safe, but is anything ever really safe? Is it safe for us to be in this room with you, Ruben? Could be an earthquake.
No, I mean, that's an obvious answer is no.
Could be an earthquake.
Especially after three cups of coffee. Like, that's why
and
there's
a leaf
cloud
blower
right
outside.
Okay. But you got a concussion. Are you worried about the long-term effects of that? Because what I heard, I was listening to an interview with, like, Keyshawn Johnson, a former NFL wide receiver, and he was talking to some other players, and they're like, yeah, when you're playing, you know, you get through it, right? You're young, you recover. In your 30s, like, you're still okay. 40s. But then all of a sudden you hit this point, you know, at middle age when things start to fall apart anyways.
That's when he's going to start golfing.
Where, like, all of a sudden, like, you can't, you know, your hip's killing you, you got the headaches and stuff. So do you have any concerns about the long-term effects of playing tackle football?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's like, with this concussion, I don't have anything, like, it wasn't that bad. And, like, for some people it is, right? Like, they get bad concussions, they get bad injuries, and it will affect them long-term. But right now, I don't think it's going to affect me in the long term. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to minimize how many you get and minimize your risk. Keith, you had something interesting, I mean, Coach Holden, about something interesting about that. When I was watching practice, you said you minimize the kids getting hurt during practice so they can... Can you explain that?
I'm glad you brought up the whole concussion thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it is relevant. And there is risk. You know, I believe there's risk in anything we do. I know kids that get concussions playing basketball.
Yeah.
Kids that get concussions playing soccer. I always say, well, they don't wear a helmet, so they're almost at a greater risk. There's a lot of data out there that talks about concussions. And I will say, you know, you look at someone like Keyshawn, the knowledge that they had back then about concussions is different than the knowledge we have now, right? So there's probably some concussions back then that went undiagnosed, not proper protocol, so on and so forth. Anyway, what the data says about concussions is that a lot of them happen in youth football, meaning high school football and lower. A lot of them happen in practice. And if we could eliminate concussions in practice, then we've taken out 75% of the concussions that actually happen. So what we do is, I mean, our alumni, you know, some of our alumni are probably losing their mind because it's not the old school fire and brimstone and all that stuff. But we hit a lot of bags. We don't tackle to the ground ever.
Mm-hmm.
They allow us 90 minutes a week to go live. We realistically go about 10 minutes live a week. Where we actually tackle to the ground. It's very rare that we tackle to the ground. So we're doing what we can. You know, Liam's concussion happened in a game, which is where there's always going to be some risk. We think that, you know, strength training could help with some of that risk. You know, like not just with concussions, but with also with other injuries. And so we're doing our best to prevent it. And then, you know, to me, it's like, I'm a football coach, and would we like to have Liam tonight to be our starting? Absolutely. Liam's a fantastic
So Owen's going to start tonight?
Yeah.
But, he'll do great.
But to me,
it'll be fine.
It's not even an item for discussion. Liam's in protocol, and he's going to do
right.
his protocol. And, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you know, we're not going to try to after the fact, oh, it wasn't a concussion. Oh,
right.
It wasn't,
right.
Oh, it was a neck injury. It was a jaw. You know,
no.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to gamble
no.
with his head.
No.
And so for me, you know, people are like, well, is there any way around it?
No.
We're not trying to get around it. You know, it is what it is, and if we follow protocol, it'll be fine. Where the main damage happens is when you have a concussion and you don't put anyone in a protocol, and then that second injury to the
yep.
head, that's when you start seeing
yep.
major damage and significant repercussions from the deal. So,
yep.
I feel like we handled this in the best way we can. And I feel like we're never gonna put winning over a player's health.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think that's how we feel that the game is still safe. Is that you look back? It's like even as late as like the aughts, you know, in the 2000s, guys would get their bell rung out there, and you'd see them like shaking their head or like kind of stumbling around. You know, like get, you know, you're still in the game. Like nobody ever came out of the game unless you were literally like knocked out. If you go back and look at like 70s and 80s stuff, and there's guys just like out on their feet, like
yeah.
stumbling around, but like get back in your position. And I know from watching that's not allowed to happen anymore. So that's how we're mitigating. So, you know, Liam,
well, yeah.
Liam
and
has a concussion.
And these kids are more than just football players. They're whole kids
who have school,
and they have social lives, and they have parents who love them and stuff. So,
Coach, it's pretty amazing the amount of success that you've had given the small draw that we have here. We only have 29,000 kids or 29,000 people on the entire coast side to draw from. So, you know, a small pool of kids. You can't recruit. You don't bring in kids from over the hill. How are you doing this? I mean, like I asked the same question of basketball coach John Parsons. Like, how do you continue to win championships with such a small pool of players to draw from?
Honestly, I don't even really look at it like that. I feel like we're just trying to do the right things for these kids, and I feel like, you know, a lot of it comes from our kids. You know, they show up, they work hard. We tell them all the time, hey, all you need to do is show up and put out great effort and have a great attitude, and everything else will fall into place. And I feel like they come in and they do that, and then we just try to put them in the best spot. So, you know, it's not to me, it's not anything I'm doing, or you know, I'm not this fantastic coach. I feel like it's the players being dedicated and the players buying in and being coachable and showing up with that good attitude all the time and putting out great effort.
Well, you're very humble, Coach, because there's got to be something with the system too and your philosophy, because it's the amount of consistent success.
Well,
here.
His philosophy you just heard is great coaching.
Yeah.
What you just heard is great coaching, the way he answered the
question.
Okay,
we just got an email in for Liam from Jimmy the Greco, draft help. Liam.
Oh, God.
What quarterback do you have on your NFL fantasy team? Carson Wentz is killing me, yo.
I have Jalen Hurts on my team.
Oh, you're rocking it. Nice.
Yeah, he's got his bye week, though. Excuse me. He's got his bye week, so I got Trevor Lawrence in. So we'll see how he does. But, yeah.
Hey, I mean, he's usually good for some points, right? Because
yeah,
he's got a couple rushing touchdowns,
yeah.
Maybe. Wow, you got Jalen Hurts. Nice,
yeah,
nice
yeah.
draft. So you do have you're in a league with a team.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah,
okay.
Point.
Nice.
Oh, more questions. So now let's do some fun hypotheticals. Dreams. Did we already do this? Dream. Oh, yeah, no, we didn't.
No,
dream
so.
Scenario here. What sport would you rather coach or go pro in? Baseball, football, or tennis? For Liam and for Coach Holden.
I'll start it off. I'd probably want to go in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite sport now, and it's just so
poor baseball.
Fun.
Is baseball crying?
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, it's still there. I just got to get back in the season. But,
do you?
Yeah. Football is my number one now, and it's just so fun to play.
It's so fun.
Just like the community you're in, and just like the bond you make with your teammates is just like the ultimate friend sport. I mean, it's just so much fun.
You guys are like brothers. You're really in the trenches in there. It's together. Yeah. That's awesome. What about you, Coach?
I think this is a funny question. I don't know really anything but football.
If you could go pro.
So that's the most realistic. But I'll tell you, if I was to coach tennis, there's a pretty good travel schedule there.
Yeah, it's true.
You can see the world. I think my wife would like that a little bit, to go see some of these nice places.
That'd be fun. Wimbledon.
Wouldn't be a bad deal.
I love it.
Yeah, they don't usually have the tournaments in Bakersfield and stuff. It's it's in France and Indian Wells.
Ruben is very, very harsh on Bakersfield.
Bakersfield is always the whipping.
It always comes up.
Boy.
It's always the whipping.
Totally.
All right, this is another fun one. Okay, Coach Holden and Liam, what is your favorite book and why?
I'm going to let Liam answer this first. We actually talked about this briefly.
Oh, good.
Okay, your English teacher's listening, Liam.
Yep.
All right.
Mr. Carey is listening.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not that big of a reader. Yeah.
This makes Miss Brightside so sad.
I spend, a lot of my time just, outside and, doing, fun, active stuff with friends. So I don't really, have the time to read, but if, I feel like after my days, I'll start reading.
In college, you'll start reading.
Yeah.
I bet you will. And does it...
Liam actually, he goes, how do I answer that? I don't really read. And I said, just be honest,
Yeah.
And I will say the same thing. When I was in high school, I only read what was given to me to read. And when I was in college, I only read what was given to me to read.
Right.
And then after college, the first book I picked up was Friday Night Lights. So the first book I picked up after college that I read on my own because I wanted to is Friday Night Lights. It's a fantastic book. It's one of my all-time favorites. And so when people ask me what's your favorite, I go, have you read Friday Night Lights? If not, you should check it out. The movie's good, but it didn't do the book justice. And the TV show's a totally different animal. So any of you out there that like reading and you haven't read that, that's a good one to pick up.
Yeah, I still haven't read it, and I've
been
wanting to.
I'm going to add that to my queue.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm going to, and I love the show. Huge fan of the show. But
The TV series.
The movie was good, but I don't barely remember it. But I love the movie. I love the TV show. Let's see.
We got about two minutes.
Let's do a fun tie-in with Halloween.
Hold on. This is KHMV 100.9 FM in Half Moon Bay. That's our required FCC top of the hour station ID. Okay, that buys us two or three more minutes.
Okay, guys. I don't think we can ask you this, but have you committed?
But you're going to do it anyways. Go for it. All right.
Come on.
Stick them.
I'm the Oprah of local radio.
Nice. Excellent.
What have you committed to any colleges yet?
I have not. No, I'm just starting the college process, looking into schools and stuff. So
do you have people calling you and bothering you and sure.
Is this the movie The Program
He's
where
lying.
You've got a big carton of letters from school?
He's lying. He's lying.
And I forgot. I missed my joke. His favorite book is the Half Moon Bay High School football team playbook, right?
That's all you had to say. Absolutely. Or whatever book you're reading in class right now.
Yeah, right. That your English assignment book or the playbook.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or whatever he's doing right now. I know. This is a very important question. Who, you guys, explain what you do each week. You invite a member of the community in to be your community cougar and because someone who does what?
So what we do every week is we, as a football program, we want to show thanks to people who support us and people who have helped us out, people who have recognized us, and we've had all kinds of people in. But we take nominations from our players, put those nominations up on the board, and they vote for what we call Community Cougar. And so that Community Cougar gets to come to our practices during the week. They get to be our guest at our team meal on typically Thursday night. Get to come down on the field on the sideline, see how we do things, come in the locker room at halftime, etc. And so, that's something we like to do. Just you know, we get so much support from our community that we just want to say thank you just to people who have been supportive to us.
That's so, what a great thing. And who is your favorite community cougar? Like, of everyone you've had this year so far, who do you think your favorite one is? Who stands out?
I gotta say Miss Kling.
Ooh!
Yeah.
I have heard that she's amazing.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, she's like a celebrity. What about you, Coach Holden?
Well, it's a loaded question. It's a loaded question here. You know, we love them all.
There's the perfect answer.
We thank them all and all that. I will say we do love that. I will agree with Liam that we do love the energy and enthusiasm that Ms. Kling brought to the table.
Wow.
That's.
I hope we can meet her one day. We should have her on the show.
I know, we should have her on the show.
I hear she's very, very elusive.
Isn't she a teen author?
She's also a teen author. Yeah.
A celebrity in her own right.
A celebrity in her own right. It's amazing she makes the time to support the young cougars.
Okay, so you guys have heard about the Sports Illustrated cover curse. It's the exact opposite when you come on Coastal Windage. Like, it, you immediately have, like, just an arc of success that's unparalleled. So... You're gonna get offer letter from
whoever
Ohio
you
State
want.
Or Alabama.
Stanford,
Coach,
Tennessee.
You're gonna win the state championship for the next 3 years.
Can
in
you
a row.
Imagine how exciting?
You're welcome. That's a Coastal Windage gift to you for coming on the show. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. On a school day, the day of the big homecoming game, we've had Coach Keith Holden, head coach, Half Moon Bay High School Cougars.
It's a real honor.
Your champion Cougars.
Yeah.
And starting quarterback Liam Harrington. Remember that name. If you don't already know it, which if you live on the coast, I don't know how you don't know that name yet. But this kid's going places. Can't wait to be watching him on Saturdays in a couple years. Right?
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That would be so exciting.
To go over to the farm and watch him at Sanford Stadium. That would be pretty cool. Right? All right,
actually.
Liam, thank you so much for coming in on a school day, Coach. I know you got a lot to think about this afternoon. Thank you.
Are you kidding? They both got to miss school.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Ruben and Sandy, for having us on. We appreciate it. And thank you for having on, Liam. I think it's more important to bring the young guys in here than us old guys. And I think it's a pretty cool deal for them.
No kidding, because this isn't going to be the last time the press asks some questions.
Totally. Yeah, we got to get your media career started here.
Is this your first time on the radio, Liam?
It is.
Wow. And now when you win your big awards, what are they called? The Heisman and all this?
ESPYs?
Whatever, yeah. You can be like, what was your very first radio show?
Yeah,
you'd be like,
right.
Coastal Windage.
And it will happen because he's got the Coastal Windage, you know.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Okay, this has been Coastal Windage. Don't forget, this Monday, the 24th, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on KHMB, The Great Debate, District 4 City Council, live debate, unscripted. That's 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday. This has been Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. Listen to us next Friday at 9 a.m. We'll be here. Hopefully you
will
join us.
We'll be here. Oh, I have a question, Ruben.
One last question, yes.
Are we on air on national holidays? I'm talking Veterans Day and the day after Thanksgiving.
We have been. We've done a New Year's Eve show. We've done a Christmas Eve show. It depends on when the Friday falls, right?
Oh.
So Veterans Day, we'll definitely be on Veterans Day.
Okay.
That's an important day in our household. We have veterans in our family.
Wonderful.
And it's important for the community. And I think you had the brilliant idea of having a veteran on
as a
guest.
Yes, so if there's anyone in our audience, listening audience, who's a veteran who'd like to come on the show, we'd love to have you.
Okay. This has been Coastal Windage, the talk
of the coast.